The Lord be with you. It is good to be among the people of God in the house of God. It's been a few months since Jesus left home, said goodbye to his family, his friends, the place he had grown up. And I imagine by this point in our story, he's homesick, misses his mom's cooking, misses the familiar faces in his town. Jesus' hometown is Nazareth in Galilee. It's not a destination. It's a place you may pass through on your way to somewhere else more important. Nazareth is in Galilee. It's a borderlands, a place between places where people speak with an accent. It's no place special in the eyes of the world, but it's special to Jesus because it's home. Nazareth is a small town. I mean, a small town, maybe 500 people. It's the sort of town where people know you, but they also know your weird uncle and your cousins, and they know your sister's problems. It's a town where Jesus is known. Jesus is known, and he knows this town well. I think we often forget that Jesus spent 25 years in Nazareth. That's 75% of his life on this earth. Nazareth shaped Jesus more than any other place. It was home. I just heard this week from a person who lived in Scotland that if you ask someone in the countryside what town they're from, they won't say, "I'm from this town." They'll say, "I belong to this town." Jesus belonged to Nazareth. He wasn't just from Nazareth, he belonged. It was a place he knew and a place that knew him. It was home. Verse 16 in our reading says that Nazareth is where Jesus had been brought up. Now in Greek, the word translated brought up really means nurtured or fed. Nazareth was the place that fed Jesus, that nurtured him, that helped him grow. It was the place that taught him what it meant to be a member of God's people. His family taught him how to pray. They taught him the faith of his ancestors. Nazareth was where Jesus went to synagogue on Sabbath with his family. It's where he learned to read the Torah in Hebrew with his buddies. It was home. It's where his stepdad, Joe, taught him how to work with his hands, how to imagine something and then build it, create it. Jesus had left home many times growing up. Every year he went to Jerusalem with his family for festivals. But when Jesus is 30 years old, he hears about his relative John, the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. John is out in the wilderness, calling people to repentance, to turn away from sin and turn back to God. And everyone is talking about John. And Jesus, when he hears that John is preaching in the wilderness, Jesus feels a stirring. He hears a calling to put down his tools, to lay down his work, to leave his family, to leave the home he's known and loved, and to go into the wilderness, to seek God's call on his life. So Jesus leaves Nazareth and heads south to the Jordan River in the wilderness, and he finds John there baptizing people. And Jesus goes down into the river with the people and is baptized. And Jesus hears a voice from heaven say, "You are my son, and I love you." And Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit and led by the Spirit into the desert for 40 days, where he fasts and does battle with the devil. And Jesus overcomes. Jesus overcomes. And you might think Jesus would go home to tell about what's happened. He does go back to Galilee, but he doesn't go to Nazareth yet. He begins to preach in all these towns in Galilee, to tell them the good news that God's kingdom has come near. But he doesn't go to Nazareth first. And I wonder why. Why doesn't Jesus go straight home? I wonder if he's avoiding Nazareth. I wonder if he knows that home won't be home anymore because something has changed. Something has changed. I wonder if Jesus already knows that the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. But the news of Jesus reaches Nazareth. They hear that Jesus is in Galilee preaching in these towns and doing great signs and miracles, healing people. And they wonder, when is he coming home? When will Jesus return to Nazareth? They're excited. They're waiting. They want to welcome home this hero from Nazareth. And when Jesus returns home finally, things go well at first. The people are glad to see him. Yes, there are whispers of how skinny he is. Wow, he's a lot skinnier than I remember. And others say he looks older somehow, much older. But things go well, and people are eager to listen to his message. So on the Sabbath day, he and his family go to synagogue. And the people insist, "Jesus, you must read from the scroll today." So he stands up, takes the scroll of Isaiah, and reads with conviction, with an authority that no one had heard, that they could barely believe. "Is this really Mary and Joe's boy?" But everyone has good things to say. They are impressed. Nazareth is proud of their hometown hero. And Jesus is proud to be from Nazareth. Nazareth taught him what it meant to follow God's law. It taught him how to pray. Nazareth also taught Jesus about God's big plan, God's big plan of salvation, to bless all the nations through Moses' descendants. Nazareth taught Jesus about the prophets, prophets like Isaiah and prophets like Elijah and Elisha, people that God chose to point out the people's sin and to call them back. Jesus grew up listening to his mother Mary sing this song. She sang it over and over again, and Jesus couldn't get the tune out of his head. Mary would sing it all the time. One of the lines goes like this: "God has brought down the rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up people who are not considered important. He has filled with good things those who are hungry, but he has sent away empty those who are rich." This song was in Jesus' heart. of a God who cares about the lowly and the outsider. So Jesus knows the goodness of Nazareth. He knows the gift of this home, the gift of his tradition. But Jesus also knows that his tradition, his scriptures, call for change. They call for people to lift their eyes, to see a bigger plan than they realize. After Jesus reads from Isaiah, all the eyes in the synagogue are watching him. People scoot forward in their seats, and they're waiting for what Jesus will say next. Just as eager as you are right now, so eager. In that moment, as Jesus meets the eyes of these people he knows and loves, Jesus has a choice to make. Will he settle back home here? Will he return to the work of his pop Joseph? Or will he be on a journey from now on, a journey toward a new home in God's kingdom? Will he simply be Mary and Joe's boy? Or will he believe the voice that spoke over him, "You are my son, and I love you"? Jesus has a choice. Will he stay here with the family who raised him? Or will he go out and gather a new family, a family of people who hear God's word and obey it? Jesus has a choice to make. Will he live within the tight boundaries of his tradition? Or will he step out and stand with the prophets and call God's people to turn from their sin, to see a bigger vision of God's kingdom? Jesus loves these faces looking at him. These are his people. His people. This is his home. He loves them. But because he loves them, he must also disappoint them. He must disappoint them. He must give them a message they do not want to hear. And the message is this: God is not only on your side. God is also on the side of the outsider. God is not just at home with you here. God is also at home beyond Nazareth, beyond Galilee even. Jesus loves his home, but because he loves it, he knows it must change. It must open its arms to receive God's kingdom, to look beyond its own boundaries, to discover that God's plans are so much bigger than it imagined, to discover that God wants to make a home where they least expect. Beyond Nazareth, beyond Galilee, all the way to Zarephath in Sidon, in a city of pagan idolaters, with a widow and her son, all the way to Damascus in Syria, where a mighty general with leprosy will find the healing of the God of Israel. Jesus is telling the people in Nazareth that the God they worship wants to make a home beyond the boundaries they imagined. And when they hear that message, the warmth and the expectation turns to cold anger. And this congregation that knew and had loved Jesus turns against him. They try to kill him. Now, maybe we think we're nothing like these people in Nazareth. That if Jesus came here, we would be so open to his message, so open to the kingdom he wants to bring. But what if this city is Nazareth? What if this church is the synagogue in Nazareth? What if all of us are the people in the pews? What if this is our story? What if God's home is bigger than even we imagine it to be? Jesus comes with a message for us, friends. Jesus comes to enlarge our imagination, to overwhelm our expectations, to expand our hearts, to extend the boundaries we thought were so clear. Jesus comes to change us. Now, I'm looking at a therapist right now who knows that human beings are so resistant to change. That we resist change. We know we must change, but we resist it. Sometimes we want to kill it because it threatens us. It threatens our way of life. It threatens the way we think, the beliefs that we hold so dear. It threatens our confidence. But Jesus says we must change. We must be open to receive God's kingdom. And that's a threat. That's a threat to us because we would rather stay safe within the boundaries of the home we know and love. We'd rather keep our confidence that we are in, but they are out. But friends, we're here because we're also seeking a better homeland. A better homeland. And if we want to find our true home, where Jesus is king, we must look to the boundaries. We must look to the margins. Because that's where Jesus is going. That's where Jesus wants to make a new home with people that we least expect. People who are poor. People who live with disabilities. People who suffer. Those who are in prison. Jesus wants to create a new family, a new home with all of us who may feel near to God and those who may feel far off from God. Jesus wants to make a new home where those on the boundaries, on the margins, become the center of a new family, a new home, a new humanity. I want to close our time here with a couple questions. I want us to ask these questions. Who are the widows in our society, in our culture? Who are the lepers? Who are those that are outside? Who are the people that we don't expect that God wants to invite in to this new family, this new home? It may be different in your culture. Who are those people on the margins, on the boundaries? Let's pray that God would give us wisdom and grace and openness to learn how to love the people that God loves, and to see how Jesus might be leading us to seek the kingdom on the boundaries, on the borders.